Would you just sing this familiar chorus with me right now tonight? Amen. I need thee, O Lord. Times when we sing that in our local congregation, I like to follow that chorus up by saying, I'm glad that it's not just a need in our life, but rather that He is here and that He is among us. He's working. He's walking through our midst and He is touching us. I need Him more than anything. But I'm also glad that He is available and He is my present help in the time of trouble. Hallelujah. Amen. What a joy to be here tonight in Ocala. SCORE Conference 2010. And I do count it a privilege to be here in this meeting. And I would just be glad to be here. I would just be glad to be sitting on the pew in every service and hearing the preaching of the Word of God. But the elder called and asked. I said yes. I really did not want it to be that my first visit to SCORE Conference would be by preaching. But I guess that's the way it is. And I'm here tonight, but I have through the years heard messages on the CDs that were preached here at SCORE Conference. My life has been enriched by the ripple effect of SCORE Conference and the CDs and messages that I've heard on them. And so I'm glad to be here tonight, and I appreciate the peace and the strength of God that I feel in my spirit right now. Amen. And I don't feel any pressure on the pulpit tonight. Amen. I have enough pressure on myself. Sure don't need anything else. But thank you, Elder Bass, for allowing me to come. And also, thank you for the nice room. Thank y'all for the nice basket. When we walked in, my daughter went right to that basket. And she started pulling things out, and she says, this is for Mommy, this is for you, and this bag of chips is for me. She calls it black chips. It's barbecue chips, Lay's barbecue chips in the black bag. That is her favorite chips. She says, here is my chips. And so she was so happy. And Ben, Brother Bass made it possible for my wife also to be here this year with me. Thank you, Brother Bass, for allowing her to come, and I'm glad my wife is here. I told Minister and Brother last night that Brother Thrasher started something, and that, you know, he said his wife was the most beautiful lady in the building. I thought, well, I could say that was debatable. You know, my wife is present. But then I remembered that Brother Kevin Archer speaks last. And I know he loves his wife. So I'm not going to get that started tonight. I'm going to leave that alone. I appreciate the message we heard last night. Good preaching of the Word of God. And I certainly received a good touch from the Lord in that service. And I appreciate the words that were spoken. And also was blessed this afternoon by the preaching of Brother Daniel McKillop. And I don't know what it's like to be an elder and worry about the next generation. But I am glad to be a part and a peer with a group of men that I'm not worried about.
All right. Thank God.
Having good godly fellowship. Amen. And receiving strength that I need to help me to stay faithful to the cause of God throughout the days of my life. So I want to say that I appreciate every minister that is preaching in this conference. I respect you and I honor you. And all of you minister and brethren that are here tonight, I appreciate you and I honor you. All of you saints of God, God bless you. If you would like, I would like for you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 1. And I'm looking forward to the preaching tomorrow by Brother Pixler and Brother Archer. And Brother Daniel McKillop felt it was necessary to let everyone know that he is the youngest man on the schedule. I feel it's important that I let you know that I am not the oldest. Young man on the schedule. I'm going to be kind. We'll let the rest of the preachers make their confessions as they come up. Zechariah chapter 1. Begin reading at verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Then lifted I up mine eyes, and saw, and behold, four horns. I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? He answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these, speaking of the four carpenters, these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. I believe the Lord would, with this message tonight, strengthen the hands of the laborer. I have a very simple message, but I do believe it is a word from the Lord. It's entitled this, the carpenters win. The carpenters win. Let's pray the Lord's blessings upon the preaching of the word. God, I love you. I'm leaning on you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I believe you will help me preach tonight. And I believe it will make a difference in this message. Hallelujah. Amen. I found myself experiencing a bit of frustration some time back. Isn't that surprising? I'm sure none of you have ever been there. But being a young man, and I'm going to enjoy that as long as I can, that still has much to learn. I'm not completely ignorant, but I have much to learn. And yet, there is placed in my life responsibility, duty, a calling to fulfill, a church to pastor, and a community to reach, and a blessing to be to my ministering brethren and to the church of God ever how God wills. And I found myself oftentimes frustrated by what I don't know and what I haven't experienced, wishing I knew more, wishing I understood more, wishing I was more, wishing I was better. I tell our church, I said, I wished you had a better pastor. I said, not a different pastor. I wish you had a better pastor. And I'm going to keep working on the fact, striving and studying and praying and reaching and doing everything within my ability to ensure that they do have a better pastor next year than they are having and enduring right now. But I see it as the pain of becoming. The pain of being, yet at the same time becoming. Being in a place where I am serving, working, laboring, endeavoring to grow people, develop them for the glory of God, lead them to spiritual maturity, helping them to become themselves. While I am being their pastor, I'm helping them to become. And yet at the same time, I am still growing. Be developed. I am being, but I am also becoming. Hallelujah. That has with it a certain pain. Because sometimes we look at people and say, I don't have the answer. I don't know. But I know who knows. And I'm not sure I'll ever get to the place where I will cease becoming. I hope I don't. But there is with youthfulness that frustration at times and pain of being yet becoming. Amen. But by God's grace, I will become all that God wills me to be. And by God's grace, I will do all that He has called me to do. Is that the way you feel tonight? Amen. And by God's grace, the church where I pastor will become the church that God wills it to become. And the people will develop into the effective soul winners that God wills them to become. Our youth will grow up to be adults that are strong, full of Holy Ghost power, one God revelation and understanding, who become themselves a terror to the works of darkness and effective in helping me reach the community in which God has called me to work and to labor. Hallelujah. There are a lot of adversaries. There are a lot of battles to fight. There are a lot of things to overcome. But I'm glad tonight that we can be assured that God's grace is sufficient, enabling us to do that which He has called us to do. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And in my desire to become more, I've endeavored to spend more time in the Word of God and seek understanding and revelation of the Scriptures. And so, a while back, I thought I would begin doing a study of the minor prophets. And I was thinking along these lines, so I thought, hey, I'll start in Zechariah. I haven't gotten very far. And Zechariah is the largest of the minor prophets, but it's bigger than just 14 chapters, I can tell you that. It doesn't take very long if you start reading the book of Zechariah to start seeing the Lord of hosts mentioned again and again and again. In 46 verses in this book, the Lord of hosts, speaking of the Lord ruling and having an angelic host that serves Him and is ministering spirits to the people of God. When it starts going there, I'm like, whoa. It's not long in the chapter 1 that Zechariah is speaking with an angel, and an angel's speaking to him, and an angel's talking to God. And I've just found out I will not very quickly get a grasp on the book of Zechariah, I can tell you that. And as I begin to look at this book, I begin to understand that it has messianic prophecies concerning the coming Christ. Zechariah spoke of that. He spoke of his time in which he was ministering. And also, this book has millennial overtones. I think it's going to take some more prayer and study before I really get a full grasp of this. But I was blessed. I was blessed. When I got towards the end of chapter 1, as I was reading of how the Lord had turned with mercies for Jerusalem, and how He spoke truthfully and matter-of-factly that His house would be built.
All right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I looked at also the book of Haggai. And then trying to make a sense of the times and all that was going on and try to put things in some type of chronological order, I realized I need to look at the book of Ezra. I needed to look at the book of Nehemiah. You going to stay with me just a little bit? And so this thing has got big on me. So I'm not going to try to preach all this tonight. But, yes, thank you, Jesus. And so I begin to find that Haggai prophesied simultaneously with Zechariah, but he began his prophecies prior to Zechariah. And that he was an elder to Zechariah. Zechariah was a younger man. Haggai saw in his burden a desire to see the temple built and restored. His focus was narrowly upon the rebuilding of the temple. But Zechariah, in his vision, it was more broad. He saw the house completed. And he saw future glory.
for Jerusalem. Amen. Haggai was just saying, hey, we need to get up and do the work of God. And we need to rebuild the house. But Zechariah was prophesying the house will be built. And God will be great in that house. And God will do a work in the restoration of Jerusalem. And the walls will be rebuilt. And there will be a day of great glory that will return for Jerusalem. What seems so small and just a little work right now in the beginning is going to actually, amen, continue to progress to the point that the temple will be restored to beauty. And the glory of the second temple, Zerubbabel's temple, will exceed the glory of Solomon's temple. Hallelujah. Amen. And Jerusalem that once knew what it was like to have its inhabitants taken away and its people brought into captivity will see them return. And not just the Jews return, but all nations will flow again unto the Lord's house and to the city of Jerusalem. And God will be magnified and people will say, come to the house of the Lord and let us be taught in that place. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I would say this, this study that I'm doing right now is actually something that is just a little deeper work to a fascination that I have had for many years. I found myself through the years preaching often about this period and this era of time when the Jews were brought back from Babylonian captivity and entered again into Jerusalem to do the work of God. It was a very hard task. It wasn't an easy job. And there was a lot of struggles. There was a lot of effort and energy that had to be put forth. There was a lot of sacrifice to ensure that the walls were built and the temple was rebuilt and worship was restored and order was regained to the people of God and that they separated themselves from their sins. There was a large work to be done in reviving the city, in reviving worship, and becoming the place that God willed, amen, Jerusalem to become. Lord, I got to get off this foundation before it gets too wide and too deep. Hallelujah. Amen. But for years I was fascinated and inspired by what I call, what would it be, the post-exilic era of restoration in Israel's history. The Bible said it started like this, Ezra 1:1. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. The heavenly king of kings paid a visit to the earthly king. And when the Lord paid Cyrus a visit, he ignited a spark and awakened a desire. He created a passion within him to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. If you want to look there, you can with me. Ezra 1:1 said that he made a proclamation, Cyrus did, throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all of the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. The Lord stirred the spirit of Cyrus. He wrote a proclamation. He gave an invitation. Amen. And when the people heard the words of the king, they felt the witness of God in their spirits. Holy desire was cultivated when divine will was communicated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Holy desire was cultivated when divine will was communicated. Amen. What a day that must have been for Israel. They had turned a corner as a nation. They began to see the light of God's face shining upon their desolate sanctuary. The psalmist captured it right, and he said it well in Psalms chapter 126. He said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Hallelujah. They were full of joy and they were full of glee. Verse 2 says, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Amen. The ones who at one time hung their harps upon the willow found a new song coming forth from their lips. Hallelujah. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled. All of that was in there. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singings. Then they said, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. He has heard our prayers. He has answered our prayers. Our prayers were, turn again the captivity, O Lord. Turn again. Bring a remnant back. Restore Jerusalem. Rebuild the temple, Lord. Restore worship and give honor. The people who have become a byword, bring them back to a place of blessing. Bring them back to a place of respect in their world. They said, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. As the streams, when dried up by summer heat, are swelled by autumn and winter rains, so let the streams of the returning people, which now seem to have diminished, let it become a swelling that is increased by numbers that are coming again to their own land. Hallelujah. Just like the streams of the south dry up, and then the autumn and winter rains fill them again, and we can see the flooding come and the torrents raging, so let it be that as people look, amen, and they look towards Babylon, they can see streams of people just teeming back to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And when the Lord made the turn, when he said, my time has come, joy filled the hearts and the people felt the witness of the Spirit. They returned to Jerusalem and they began the work. I've often thought and wondered, and the idea is out there, and we think about it. You know, sometimes is it easier to pastor a church that's been established for 30 and 40 and 50 years, 60 years, especially someone young like me that still has a lot to learn and come to know? Or is it easier just to start a home mission work? Some folks would say, hey, it's easier just to start your own church, and start a home mission work and begin to work in a new city. You raise your own babies. And then some folks would say, I agree. Now that I'm pastoring this church, it's been around for a few years. You may be right. But I'm not sure. I know this. To God, it doesn't matter whether it's a home mission work that's building and working and laboring, or whether it's a church that has been established for 100 years, where there's people praying and working and laboring. To God, it doesn't matter. He's able to help and to bring about growth, revival, spiritual maturity. Can you stay with me? I know I've been slow. To God, it doesn't matter. It's not any harder for him to help a whole mission church than it is for him to help a church that's been established for a long time. To God, it doesn't matter. There's struggles to both. Some of the struggles are the same, but some of them are very, very different. What does it matter if you have no money and no notes? Or if you have big money and big debt? God has to help you. But there is something special about home missions work. And where everybody is a new convert, so to speak. And they're fresh out of the world. And they've been born again. They were on drugs. Came to an altar. God delivered them and set them free. And now they come to church hungry. Saying, I want more of you, Lord. I want a closer walk with you, Lord. I need a touch. I know I'm nothing. I know I'm a nobody. You got to help me, God. You brought me a long ways, but God, I'm hungry to become more than I am. I want you to grow me. I want you to teach me. I want you to instruct me. I want the preacher to preach to me when I come to the house of the Lord tonight. And yet, sometimes those that pastor works that have been there for a while, not everyone always comes to the service saying, I want more. There's those that say, I'm very satisfied. I know enough. I'm content like I am. Don't dig around my roots, Pastor. And so there's different challenges to our callings and duties and responsibilities. And it doesn't matter to the Lord where we're laboring or what we're dealing with. He can help any just as much as he can help the others. But I am telling you that I believe that there are certain struggles, such as having to deal with a Jerusalem that's been reduced to rubbish. And in some ways it is harder to rebuild than to build. Not in God's ability to make it happen, all right? But sometimes the struggles of rebuilding, I mean walking out of the comfort of Babylon. Making the sacrifice to walk the distance. Seeing the mountain of rubbish. The burnt timbers. The walls that are non-existent. Feeling the weight of what used to be. The glory having departed. And yet somehow knowing that God said, I want to do a work. I want to do a work. I want to do a work. Amen. And it's not just I want to do a work. I'm going to do a work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you worship the Lord with me right now? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I don't want to make it sound like that it's harder to have revival in older established churches than it is in home missions. But I can tell you there are some great struggles with paradigms and mentalities and ways of thinking in churches where there's been trouble and hurts and pains and heartaches, where the leaders haven't always been men of character and men of kindness. Can I just preach? Where men haven't always, our people haven't always come to know and enjoy a pastor that loves them and cares for them, that is a man of understanding and a man of revelation, that's got the heart, the work of God at heart, and has the heart of God as he does the work. Sometimes saints, they love God, they love the church, and they find themselves as they go to the place they love and wanting to be saved, experiencing spiritual abuse. I don't believe that your pastors are that type, okay? I'm going to make it clear here tonight. But I'm going to tell you, when you have to deal with saints that have been spiritually abused, that's had pastors that had moral failures, in which they love the ministry more than anything else in this world, and yet they lose respect. They're let down. Step into a church where there's false doctrine that's been taught. Another Jesus. It's challenging. I'm telling you, that can be hard labor.
Oh, yes. Yes, it can.
And I've come to strengthen the hand of the laborer here. I've come to encourage you tonight. The Lord has done a work through you. And the Lord will continue to do a work through you. And I'm here to say tonight by the word of the Lord, the Lord's house shall be built. I've had to walk slow to get where I'm at tonight, but I feel the Holy Ghost coming on me right now. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm here to encourage somebody tonight. I'm going to, by the grace of God, encourage some saints. But I'm not comfortable saying I'm a preacher's preacher. But I feel a word from God for some ministers here tonight. I want to encourage you tonight. I want to strengthen your hand. Amen. There's some daunting tasks that God has called us to do. Amen. There is a challenging work that God expects for us to perform. And I want to remind us tonight that we're not alone. That God is faithful, who has called us and commissioned us, and He will enable us to perform His perfect will. And what we cannot do ourselves, He will do through us. Would you pray with me? Come on, let's worship the Lord. In Jesus' name. 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 Hallelujah. Kabo shana bahaya. Ikarabo yanda labo shana na labo ho yanda labo shakara bahaya. Ikarabo yanda labo shana bahaya yanda labo shakara. Hallelujah. Just worship the Lord with me. Hallelujah. Ikarabo shana labo ho yanda labo shakara. Hallelujah. 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 I will tell you this. Amen. I've already read and quoted out of Psalms chapter 126. Speaking about when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, let me remind you of the last verse of Scripture. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I just feel like saying right now, the word works. The word works. Hallelujah. What you sow is what you reap. Hallelujah. I feel like we just debunked the devil right there. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, the enemy has been trying to defy, amen, the work that you have done. Amen. And tell you that you're not making a difference. Amen. And you're not turning the tide. He's a liar and the father of all lies. Amen. My Bible tells me he that goeth forth, not with a mean spirit, not with an angry spirit. We may have to get tough and tight sometimes. Amen. But we got the work of God at heart. Amen. And what we're sowing is not self-will. And we're not sowing our own angry, bitter spirit. Amen. But we're sowing the precious seed of the Word of God. The Bible said that man shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. I'm telling you, you sow the this. I'm going to give a word of prophecy to somebody right now. You're sowing the right seed, and you need to expect the bountiful harvest of God's blessing. Hallelujah. I don't care how high the mountain of opposition is. It doesn't matter how much trash, how much rubbish, how much it seems a burn over field. If the Lord said, I've turned with mercy, believe the word of the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm telling you, there's churches, amen, that's had trouble past that I'm preaching to tonight. There's some of you pastors, I don't know all of you, but you're pastoring some churches and some saints that's had some trouble. But you keep sowing the right seed. Sow the seed of love. Sow the seed of grace. Sow the seed of mercy. Sow the seed of compassion. It will come again. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 I tell you what the air of restoration, amen, does for me. It reveals to me the magnitude of the love of God. When He returned, amen, Israel from Babylon and enabled them to rebuild and restore Jerusalem, it reveals the magnitude of the love of God. Number two, amen, it reveals that God keeps His covenant. Number three, that He fulfills His promises. Number four, that He will not be angry always. Number five, that He remembers mercy and delights in mercy. And number five, it shows us how that the plans and the purposes of God are greater than human failure and shortcomings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Hallelujah. I know what it's like to go through a transition. And how many has ever heard the old saying, there's a snake in the grass? Grass is something that grows fast. It's green. Fades fast. It's a type of transition. Something that's just here for a little while. Gone. Comes back again. I want to tell you, the devil can get in the mix sometime of transitions. And this meeting seems to talk about a transition of a new generation of preachers. But sometimes it's flesh gets involved. It's not devils. Devils may be in the mix. There may be a snake in the grass. I'm going to tell you, sometimes there's a big pile of dirt gets on the grass. Flesh gets involved. It's not easy for a new man to walk into old problems. And if you have a nature like I have, I like just to take care of trouble as soon as I can. I don't like unfinished business. But I can tell you this. Endeavoring to pastor by the leading of the Holy Ghost and not self-willed, I have found there's things I'd sure like to take care of that the Lord won't release me to. I just don't appreciate people coming to the house of God and thinking they're doing God justice for showing up. I'm here. Preacher, you ought to be proud of me. I had a bad day today. I just got to preach the way I feel it here tonight. I really have no malice, okay? I've had a bad day. I've had a bad week. And you ought to be just glad I showed up tonight. And sometimes I want to, you know, just crack a whip, pow, and say, hey, let's have church. Go. That's what we're here for. Let's feel after God. Let's reach after God. And I'm not complaining. We have a very good church in Jennings. I'm telling you. I'm blessed to be pastor there, but we're real. And I guess I'm being more honest about myself than I am them right now. Of what I struggle with. And I found that there's some situations within our local assembly God will not release me to deal with. That it's a trouble and a struggle that I'm going to learn to live with for a while. I go back and I looked at the book of Nehemiah. And I'm reminded of a man by the name of Sanballat and another one called Tobiah, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
I mean, as soon as Nehemiah got there to what? Build?
Yeah.
The wall.
Yeah.
There was resistance.
Sure. Right.
There was an adversary.
Right. Yeah.
There was someone there to work against him.
Right.
I mean, that was grieved that someone had came to seek the welfare of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
They begin to resist. I'm going to tell you, remind you tonight, that ministry is not just about fighting the devil. It's about building a church. And in building a church, there's times we have to fight forces of darkness. But every time the devil shows his face, doesn't mean we need to give him attention.
Right.
Every time he sticks his head up, every time he says something, we don't need to honor him with an act, with a response. This is what I've learned. I've learned that in some way I have to have a big old spiritual ignorer. Now, again, y'all can help me later if I'm wrong. But in some ways, there are some spirits that when I get into a service that when a service begins and it's a little tight, if I focus on that person that's entertaining, that cold, carnal spirit that's creating some tightness within the assembly, it's not just one person, but I see a person that the enemy is working through. You just have to feel it and know what I'm talking about. But I guarantee you some of you have already thought of some. And I'm going to help you understand them just a little bit more. You're not the Lone Ranger. I guarantee you that's one of the people that all it takes for them to get a good Holy Ghost blessing is for another preacher to show up at church. All it takes is for a visiting priest. Woo! Praise God!
Never heard that before.
Woo! God talked to me tonight! And I guarantee you they're the same ones that's concerned about your church going in compromise.
Well.
You can wait for a service and say, how'd service go? Boy, it's good. Brother so-and-so right behind. Well, that's good. He hadn't been moving while I was there. But I'm going to tell you, I don't believe that we just need to strike out at that spirit all the time. Because if we do, we're going to let the devil set the agenda. I don't want to allow works of darkness to set the agenda. I want to do the work of God. He's called me to walk in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. There'll be a day to throw Sanballat out on his head. But there's a timing to it. And when it's time, everything will be all right. But if you try to do it too quick, he's got influence with other people and you'll hurt the church. I know I'm a young man, but I'm just telling you, I've been pastoring a few years now. I don't know if I'm doing all right tonight, but I'm just kind of letting it roll here. All I know is, I don't know what all I'm going to have to contend with. And how patient I'm going to have to be before some Sanballat spirits. Now, I don't like kicking anybody out of church. I'm telling you, they all look good on the pew. I'm just telling. I'd rather them come than go. As a matter of fact, when I get happy about people leaving, I believe my spirit's wrong. I'm going too deep. I can tell right now. If I'm going to go that deep, I'm going to have to clarify myself really well. But as far as my spirit as a minister, I'm working to save every person in my congregation. I don't know how much mercy it's going to take. I don't know how much compassion it's going to take. All I know is that normally the Lord will not release me to deal with a situation until my spirit is right about it. He will not normally release me to deal with a situation until I can deal with it with love. To say, and I'm really reaching for you. I really care about you. I want to see you saved. But this is what it takes. You understand what I'm saying here? I'm just saying that there's a lot of things that we can come up against in rebuilding. Doing the work that God has called us to do. But I am going to remind us that it doesn't matter what kind of powers have come in the past. What kind of beast has come with its horns just scattered. Throng people, wounded people, hurt people. The carpenters. When? Kings, powers, with soldiers, royalty and majesty that come in and conquer will be overcome. By people that focus on building. Building. The Lord didn't say, I'm going to send to Jerusalem a king and a big band of soldiers. And that large army is going to overcome the powers. No. He said, I'm going to send laborers. Men that'll work. And as they don't join arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder, spread themselves along the wall, and just work day in and day out, they're going to see that the opposing powers and adversaries will begin to shake. And tremble. He said, I have sent the carpenters to fray the horns. Cut them off. Bring terror to the enemy's camp. And I have sent them to cast out the horns. Break off the powers off the people of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to encourage somebody tonight. Keep building. Saint of God, keep building. Keep building your prayer life. Keep building your personal relationship with God. Don't get distracted by people that are allowing the devil to use them. One thing I've learned is that I've had to learn how to get comfortable with being questioned. I'm not quite there yet. Sanballat and Tobiah they would say, will they? Will they? Will they? Will they? Will they? Will they? Will they be able to build the gates? Will they be able to build the walls? Will it be able to stand? Questions are going to come. People's going to question your integrity. I mean, they said Nehemiah had been hiring prophets to prophesy. And that he was rebuilding Jerusalem so he could become king of it. They questioned his integrity. Questioned his motives. They invited him just to come off the wall for a little while. So let's have a meeting. Let's talk about it. Come on down to Oh No. You've heard it preached through the years. And he said Oh No to Oh No. Oh No. I'm in a great work. And I can't come down. I don't know what's trying to distract you. I want the word of the Lord to help us all get back on focus here tonight. And be encouraged and reminded that it's the builders that win. And with every measure of success, I'm winding on down to a close here. With every measure of success, the battle will intensify. Just because you ignore the devil sometimes in situations, don't mean it's going to go away.
Right.
But just keep building. Keep building. The people that are successful in their walk with God, and what I've observed and been encouraged by as a young minister, the churches that keep growing and have success is the men and the people that keep building, that don't allow the works of darkness to set the agenda in the assembly. They realize there is an enemy. There is powers of darkness that must be resisted and dealt with. But sometimes it just needs to be ignored. And then when the Holy Ghost puts you on it, deal with it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Will you worship the Lord with me right now? Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you what Nehemiah did. Amen. When opposition would come, he'd go back to prayer. He'd go back to prayer. He'd go back to prayer all throughout the book. You see him. He started praying, saying, God, what do you want me to do? And God said, I want you to go and rebuild the walls. Amen. And when opposition would come, he'd go back to prayer again. He'd go back to prayer again. I'm just telling you, the only way we're going to make it through, the way we're going to see the will of God done, the way we're going to consistently receive power from God, keep our spirit right, keep the fire and the power and the unction and the anointing of God upon our soul, it is in that place called prayer. Hallelujah. Saint of God, you keep building your prayer life and building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They looked at that temple and they wept and cried. Some of them said, this looks like nothing compared to the first temple. Zerubbabel, what you're building is, as we look at it now, it's nothing in comparison to what has been. There's some people get hung up in the past, don't they? But God spoke through that prophet Zechariah and said, this house will be built. And then also through the prophet Haggai and said that the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. Yeah, the first temple had the ark, had Shekinah glory. It had Aaron's rod, had the pot of manna. This second temple doesn't have an ark, and it didn't have the Shekinah glory move in. Doesn't have the rod, doesn't have the pot of manna. But the Lord's come into this house.
Oh, yes.
This second house that looks like nothing right now, it's a work of restoration. It's a work of reviving. We may have a right to weep and cry about what we've lost, but also we need to be happy that something is happening. And what's happening right now may be paling to what has been, but it's only what is happening right now that's going to get us to greater glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. This may look like nothing compared to the first temple, but this temple as it is, built by Zerubbabel, will not remain as it is, but Herod will expand it. He will expand it and beautify it in a greater way. And God Himself, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, will pay a visit. The greatest manifestation and revelation of God will walk into this temple. He will clean house and He will perform miracles. Lame will be healed at its gate. People will receive the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost in the second house. It's a daunting task. There's a lot of struggles. It's a great work. And it will be done by staying focused on building and not on fighting the enemy. Am I making sense? I'm going to keep working till He comes. Until He comes. Until He comes. There's nothing in this world worth turning around to see. My eyes are on the prize that awaits me by and by. And I'm going to keep on working till He comes. Will you stand and worship the Lord with me tonight? Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
What a great God. What a great God. What a great God. Hallelujah. Honor You,
Hallelujah.
We honor You, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I know that it may seem that this whole message has been an encouraging word to ministry. Let me close by saying this. Nehemiah worked and labored. It was his calling. But he didn't do it all by himself. The people had a mind to work. He cast the vision, gave the word of God, The people heard it and said, let us rise and build. Let us rise and build. And when a measure of success was gained, they've got half the walls up. Or the walls up to half the height that they were going to build them. The enemy started to conspire and said, well, let's go in and overtake them. They heard the word. And the Bible said that Nehemiah gave orders for the people to spread themselves out and prepare themselves. There's times as we build, we're working, we have to ignore the works of the enemy. But as we labor, the enemy conspires and his will to work against us intensifies, that it becomes not just a building work, a work of progress and building, but it also becomes a work that we have to preserve. To where it's not just Nehemiah saying, hey, I'm not coming down off this wall, that the people themselves, as they're working and laboring, knows what it's like to be bivocational. First and foremost, we're builders, but we also have a spear and a sword. And at any time we need to, we'll pick up the spear and the sword and use it. But we're going to stay focused on our purpose. And that's to build. Build a work. Build a church. Have revival. Win souls. Establish a move of God. An atmosphere where people can come in and be born again. Hallelujah. Thank God for pastors like you have that is right here in this meeting that's presenting and preaching that type of vision and is focused on the right thing of building an apostolic church in this hour. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you to strengthen the hands of your ministry. Amen. And share the vision and burden and preserve the work of God. Hallelujah. Be encouraged tonight. Let's do the work of God in this hour. Let's stay focused on our responsibility. Let's build the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, let's glorify the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus.